This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
Lots to get to with our next guest here on Pushing the Odds. We go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline, Paul Flannery, SB Nation, covering the NBA. Paul, Matt Perrault, how are you?
What's up, Matt?
Let's start with Giannis and the Bucks and what happened in their game seven against the Celtics. He came out of that game and he said that the Bucks are still the better team. It sounded a little bit like sour grapes and whining a little bit. But what happened to Milwaukee in game seven in your mind? Chris Middleton was phenomenal all series, but Giannis wasn't much of a factor in game seven.
Well, they did a couple different things on him. I mean, I think Semi Ojeleye kind of slowed him down a little bit, but no, look, Giannis can say whatever he wants about being a better team. They weren't. They lost four games, and you know, they didn't win. The Wizards were saying the same thing last year. It's one of those things. I'm sorry, you know, that's why you play seven games. I thought the Celtics were much more the aggressors in that game from start to finish, and you know, I think a lot of the Bucks' issues caught up to them, as they tend to do in a long playoff series, one of which was that their offense lacked any kind of creativity, and it was really just Giannis and Middleton trying to go one-on-one. And, you know, Middleton feasted, but they had a plan for, you know, trying to contain Giannis. So that's what happened to them. That's just who they were. They need to get better. They need to get a lot better because that's not good enough anymore. This is three times in the last 4 years they've been knocked out of the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, we need to see something more out of them.
What do they need to do in the offseason in your mind? What does that team need to complement Giannis?
Well, first of all, they need a really good coach. And if I were them, I would go strong after Mike Budenholzer, who's available now, because Giannis has now played for a couple different coaches, and they've tried different schemes and different things. But what they need to do is they need to get solid. They need to figure out who they are. And I think Bud would be a phenomenal coach for them. The really big issue they have in the offseason is what to do with Jabari Parker. I can make a case either way. Frankly, I think it probably would be best to just, you know, let him settle off to a different place. But if you can get him for a decent deal, and this market's going to be really tight, he's a good player, and you want to have as many good players as you can. But right now, I think they need a really strong coach who gives them a set system that they can really dig their teeth into, because there is talent there. And, you know, then they need the other guys to develop, like Thon Maker and such.
So Boston advances now to the Eastern Conference semifinal. They will play Philadelphia. Here in Las Vegas, Philadelphia is a minus 400 favorite, and that is shocking to me given the fact that the Celtics have home court. I know Philly should be favored, but are you surprised that at least here in Vegas, Philadelphia is expected to be kind of a walk in the park here against Boston?
Yeah, I don't really have any context for those numbers because I'm not a gambling dude, Matt, but I will say that I think the Sixers are probably going to win. I had, coming into the series, I figured probably in six. And with Jaylen Brown being hurt, that might get a little bit dicey for Boston. I mean, look, they're missing their two best offensive players, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. They're missing a really important backup big man, Daniel Tice, and now Jaylen Brown. That's three starters out of the lineup. I mean, all credit to the Celtics. I watch them all the time because I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know, they play hard. They got great schemes. They're gonna play their butts off, especially at home. But at some point, the talent just, you know, it's hard to cover up for those guys, because it's not only do you lose them, but now you're plugging in guys who maybe don't, you know, you didn't want to play during the playoffs. So that's really where that comes from as far as I'm concerned. I mean, straight up, Matt, straight up, forget Hayward because he hasn't really been here all year. If they had Kyrie, I think this is a phenomenal series, but they don't. And now without Jaylen Brown, too, that's very difficult.
Now, without Brad Stevens being in the equation, I would agree that it's a walk in the park. With Brad Stevens and home court for Boston, I disagree mightily. This is going to be an easy series, as those numbers would indicate that Philadelphia is a heavy, heavy favorite to win this thing. I think Boston's got a realistic shot. Jaylen Brown missing game one, most likely tonight, is definitely a problem. But how much of this is about Al Horford and what he could do from a legacy standpoint in Boston if he were able to lead this team to a victory over Philly?
Well, I don't know about legacy. I mean, he's been here 2 years. But, you know, Al's done what he was brought here to do, which is provide stability, provide leadership, provide, you know, he was huge in that Bucks series. I mean, game five and game seven, he was the best player on the court in both of those games. That means he was a better player in those games than Giannis. I don't know how much more he's got to do. He's got to be better than Embiid now. That's a really tough task, and it'll be interesting to see how the Celtics line up against them. They could start big. They could start small. I think the crunch time thing you'll see Horford at the five in small ball lineups. But, you know, there is a limit to how much this guy can do on his own. Again, if they had Kyrie, I think this would be a fair fight.
I mean, to be fair, though, Isaiah Thomas played 2 years in Boston and left a legacy. So why sure. couldn't Al Horford go ahead if he beats Philadelphia in the average Boston media label that's been slapped on him for being a max player? Isaiah Thomas wasn't a max player, but he here is Al Horford. I mean, this is what he's supposed to do, right? He's supposed to rise up and raise his game at this level.
But Matt, he already has. Like, yeah. The average Al thing is just people who don't know what they're talking about, frankly. the great thing about Al Horford is he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He really legitimately does not care. He's one of those guys, the reports came out that he was the last player picked in the All-Star game. And he was like, I don't care. And he's probably the only All-Star there who that would not bother him. He has got a very good sense of who he is, what he's accomplished, and what he's here to do. And look, I mean, the whole thing with the Celtics is next year. Next year when they have Hayward and Kyrie and Horford and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are a year older, you know, let's see what this team can do. Right now, you know, I mean, just getting past that first-round series was a huge accomplishment for the team. Look at who they're playing.
Well, I am looking at who they're playing, and I'm looking at the Philadelphia fans chanting, "We want Boston," before they even play a Game 7,
good.
Which was pretty wacko to hear from their perspective. Look, in this series, to me, I think Embiid's the problem. I don't think Ben Simmons is the problem for Boston. Would you agree?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I think it's the opposite.
Really?
I mean, I think Embiid is phenomenal. He's going to shut down a lot of things defensively. He's great. Ben Simmons keys that offense. And their offense right now is really humming because they move and they cut. If you watch that Bucks series, the Bucks never moved off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a little screen and roll and then a post up and then everybody stand around. The Sixers are going to move, cut. And Simmons is the guy. What do you do with him? He's 6'9", 6'10". He can finish with both hands. I think you're going to see Semi Ojeleye on him, which will be wild.
Yeah.
I think that's the way I would go for sure. You'll see Marcus Smart on him, of course, and you know things of that nature. You would have seen Jaylen Brown on him. That's where his absence is a problem. If you can't stop Ben Simmons, you can't stop the Sixers.
Right.
Embiid is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. Simmons is really good. I think he's a top 20 player right now.
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I just trust Brad Stevens to be able to create a place where he puts Ben Simmons where he has to score. And I'm just not sold on Ben Simmons, the scorer. I'm sold on Ben Simmons as the facilitator and the straw that stirs the drink. I just don't know if you put him into a you-must-score situation, that's how I think that they could be vulnerable, and that's where Embiid scares the heck out of me because I just think I'm not sure how you stop a dude who can shoot like that. Although, Horford taking him away from the basket, I think, is pretty interesting.
That's probably the way they're going to go with that. They're probably going to try to get Embiid away from the basket as much as possible.
Right.
But hey, I mean, Simmons put up 20-10-10 against Miami, and they tried to do the same thing. So
yeah,
he can play.
Very, very true. Real quick, on the Russell Westbrook front, what's OKC's future? You got $28 million to Carmelo. Paul George looking like he's going to leave. I mean, how big of a blow to the legacy of Russell Westbrook was that loss to Utah?
I mean, you know, the whole point of this, of what they did last offseason, was to get Westbrook to agree to an extension, which he did.
Right.
They're probably going to lose Paul George. I would imagine he's going to the Lakers. And you know, they're going to be stuck with Mel. That's the price they paid. That's the price they paid to get Russ to sign the extension. Where they go from here is going to be fascinating. Presti's really good at his job. I don't know how they get off Melo's contract. I don't know if he's tradable. I think they absolutely should, and I think they should probably bring him off the bench, which he doesn't want to do. That can get very, very, very uncomfortable next year. This OKC team really disappointed me. I thought they were going to be a lot better. Turned out when they lost Robertson, that was just one player too many. He's really good. But right now they got Westbrook and they got Steven Adams. It's not a bad place to start, and they got a pretty good GM. So I think they're going to look a lot different in a year. This offseason will be fascinating. They'll put in a play for George, but I think he's probably gone. Now, where do you go from there? I mean, they're going to have to draft and develop, which is how they built that team in the first place.
Interesting. Real fast, is Billy Donovan the coach next year?
I can't see why not. I mean, I know people like to rag on Billy, but when you're talking about that kind of – who are you going to get that's better?
Yeah.
Now, I would argue that right now out there, Mike Budenholzer is arguably a better coach than Billy Donovan. He's great. Maybe if you can get him and you think he's the missing piece to the puzzle, fine. But, you know, replacing him just to replace him after 2 years, that's not the way successful organizations go about their business. And if you remember, OKC stuck with Scott Brooks for a long time.
Very true. P. Flans, great stuff, my friend. Thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it.
All right. No problem.
That is Paul Flannery joining us from SB Nation on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Senior writer covering the NBA. If you don't follow that dude, you need to follow that dude. That guy is phenomenal covering the NBA. Yes, he's based in Boston, and yes, he's sort of one of my Boston guys. I worked with him at WEEI back in the day, but he is a very, very talented writer, a really, really good guy, and a knowledgeable guy. He likes the Sixers, Boston, and Philly. This is the rivalry for the Eastern Conference for the next decade. Cavaliers will have a say over the next year or two. And then it's all about Boston. It's all about Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference. Should be a real fun rivalry. Game one tonight. Looking forward to seeing how Boston handles Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But next, NASCAR's in trouble. TV ratings crashing. Let's talk about how you fix it. How you get NASCAR back on the table next. Next.